If I can have your attention here in the media center and upstairs in the press box, we'll start with today's NASCAR Xfinity Series post-race media availability for the 16th annual Coca-Cola Firecracker 250 here at Daytona International Speedway. And we're joined by today's runner-up, Elliott Sadler, driver of the number one Armor Vienna Sausage 150 years Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports. Elliott, it seemed as much an endurance race out there today as it was a super speedway race. Please walk us through that finish from your perspective.
Mic check. Okay, here we go. The track was definitely a lot different today, than what we've seen here in the past during the night. Anytime you race during the daytime, the track was a little slicker and guys' cars were a little bit more out of control. So if you had a car that handled good, you know, you could be very aggressive. And, you know, with the no tandem rule, there's a lot more bumping and letting go and bumping and letting go, which can create some issues sometime. And, we saw a bunch of wrecks today, and it was about being in front of the wrecks, and that's what our plan was from the very beginning, to try to stay ahead of everybody and ahead of the stuff as much as we could. So all in all, it was a great day for us. We won a stage and got us plenty of bonus points and got a championship point. And, gosh, we were so close there at the end. But, I'm so proud and happy of William and the job he's doing. And I knew once my train of thought was to push him out into the lead. And I could clear, maybe if I could clear Eric, then I could get beside the nine and it will be between just he and I, and we could race for the win. But job one was to get a really good restart and push him out to the lead, and, you know, we were able to do that.
Okay, we'll open the floor up for questions. If you have any questions for Elliott, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start here with Jordan and work our way around.
Hi, Elliott. Jordan Bianchi, SB Nation. Replays show that the accident happened before the overtime line. You guys hit that. Knowing that, did you want that race restarted? What are your feelings?
No, I was good, man. I'm not going to nickel and dime that to death, guys. You know, I'm in the race car. It's probably easy for you to sit in here and judge what kind of call NASCAR makes, but, you know, we got a lot of people out there and a lot of equipment, and, you know, we're running 190 mile an hour, you know, side by side. If there's a reason to throw the caution because somebody's wrecked, I'm all for it, because it could be me the next time. So I'm not going to nickel and dime them to death on when they threw it and why they threw it and racing back and all that crap. I say safety first because my butt's in the seat, and y'all write what y'all want to write about it.
We'll go next to Bob and then to Jerry, and then we'll go upstairs to the press box.
Bob Packer, ESPN. My question kind of on that, but it's just more on the overtime. There's going to be just a lot of questions of whether the overtime line is good or bad after this. Do you know
why the overtime line is there?
It was there because of Talladega.
Okay, all right.
So, right?
Yeah.
And
we can't have that again, right? Hey, Bob, I'm with you, man. It's a tough question that me and you probably can debate all day. But the rule is the rule, and the rule is put into play for a couple different reasons. But if you're asking me, a driver that's been doing this for 20 years, I'm going to err on the side of safety every time. It might have cost me a chance today, might not. I don't know if I could have got up there or not. But you just don't know when cars start wrecking and hitting, if somebody got hurt, if they didn't, or anything like that. And I hadn't looked at a replay, so I'm not sure 100% where we were when the caution was actually thrown.
What happened was it appeared that the wreck happened before you were behind, when you were behind the overtime line. By the time you guys got past the overtime line, the caution came out.
Okay, I got you.
So the question was, NASCAR
wait to throw the caution. I understand your point of view, and I'm just not going to nickel and dime to death, man. We got a good sport, and we got a lot of good things going, and man, let's keep it at that. You know, my answer to any of you guys' questions about overtime line is safety first.
Go next to Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, KingOfTheTires.net.
Yes, sir.
You got another race coming up in a few hours.
I know.
So are you ready for that?
I feel good, man. All these little young kids are talking about IVs, and I see them got a little air conditions hooked up to their suits and all that. They just don't get it. You can't send your air conditioning and play with your little phones all the time. You got to get outside and do some work. So I actually feel really good. I'm hydrating. I'm going to go sit in the air conditioning, take me a shower, and relax. And I'm about to starve to death, you know, because of the rain delay. So I'm going to eat a little bit and get ready, and we'll go again tonight. And tonight's going to be fine. It's nighttime, right? It's going to be cool. It's probably going to be nice and cold tonight. Probably have to turn the heat on in here for you guys.
We'll go up to the press box where I hope it's cool as well.
ChrisKnightCatchFence.com. Jerry stole my question, but Elliot, I was just kind of curious if how impressed you are with William Byron and what he did out there today. And can you talk about the strength of the JRM team heading into this crucial summer stretch?
Yeah, I am very impressed with our team. You know, we started off a little bit not where we wanted to be as the season got going on some of the tracks, but as the season has come on, we feel like we've gotten better as a team. Our engines have gotten a little better, and our chassis have gotten better. Like, we're improving as a team right now, and I think that showed over the last month. And I think I've told y'all this before. William Byron's a real deal. He has got the package. And I tell you the big. I just told this to Mr. Hendrick in Victory Lane. The biggest difference between he and a lot of the other young kids that come in here. William knows where the edge is with his car. He keeps his car in one piece every week, and he's still fast. So a lot of these young guys come in here and they're fast, but they tear up a lot of equipment. William just doesn't do that. So he's very smart. He uses his head. Hey, Mr. Clint Boyer, how are you?
Good
job,
buddy.
Good job. How are you? Where are you going? Never a dull moment when the guy from the other Emporia is here, right? But I'm very impressed with him, and he's got a lot of knowledge. And he and I talked a long time on Thursday during qualifying, yesterday during qualifying, about restarts. If we were together, what we would do, how do you do restarts, how you side draft. Like, he and I talked for about 30 minutes, he and I and Max Pappas. And it's neat that it came down to that today, and he nailed the last restart because I kind of knew what he was going to do. Because we had already talked about it yesterday. So it's kind of funny how little stuff comes out like that. But definitely a job well done by he and his team. I mean, that could easily be 3 wins in a row for him.
Okay. Before we go to Caleb, I want to introduce to you today's third-place finisher, Dakota Armstrong, driver of the number 28 Winfield United Toyota. Dakota, wild race out there. Took a while to complete, but how satisfying is today's third-place finish for you?
I got to turn it on. You got to work it. One thing is, I guess I need to go outside and stop staying in the air conditioning, like, because that was a hard race. I was lucky; it was a 3-parter. Our car got really hot at the end, but we had some damage on that very last one. Got into the 16, so I was ready to make moves, but I was ready to just kind of ride behind the. I knew the 1 and the 9 were pretty good, and I actually followed them. In that second stage to finish 3rd in that. So I thought we were set up pretty good. I knew our car wasn't going to be able to lead with that damage. But just an overall, just a good day. We did what we needed to do. We got stage points. Good day for us. At 24 had a good run. So just two weeks in a row, good for us. So it was really important for points.
Okay. Let's go ahead and continue with questions here. We'll go to Caleb.
Caleb Whistler, Speedway Dodgers. This is for both of you. With all the rain delays and all the red flags and cautions, was it hard for you to get into momentum and a mojo during this race?
A little bit. I mean, the race was actually kind of, I thought it was pretty weird. I think with all the rain, it seemed like everyone was kind of calm for the most part. I mean, there really wasn't a big wreck till the very end. Like, everybody was willing to ride more so than the first two races of the season. There's been wrecks right out the get-go. So I think the rain played a part in that. It was kind of like restarting the race from the beginning every time. So everybody was just willing to ride, and then it got a little wild there, but everyone, I feel like that's the best I've seen the field do as far as just being aggressive and moving and not just tearing up stuff. So it was kind of weird the way it played out. Probably helped everybody's nerves. For me, it was, we were ready to get it over with. We knew this one could hurt us or help us, but luckily we were on the good side of it.
Elliot, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it just seems short to me because you stop, start, and I just think everybody was kind of calm until we knew that once we got to lap 60, the next, you know, whether rain or something was going to end it because they knew we had to get stuff ready for the cup race. So then cars started to get more aggressive. I saw bump drafting a lot more side drafting, a lot more 3-wide. So the first half of the race, I think, was calm. But once everybody knew we were getting to lap 60, things had to change, and we kind of saw that.
We'll go next to the gentleman in the red and then over here to Kelly.
Zach Langway, theracingexperts.com. Question for Dakota. Two top 5 finishes in a row. What does that mean to a smaller team such as yours? And then does this change the strategy moving forward now that you're seeing yourself every week creep into the chase picture?
Yeah, well, I mean, for confidence, it's great for our guys. You know, they work just as hard as anybody. You know, being a small team, you know, it's tough for us to even get ready next week for New Hampshire, you know, or Kentucky, and then lead into all those other ones. So it's good for us. Gives us all, I guess, everyone hyped up all those hours they work. You know, I guess one thing is we've ran two top fives when Williams won. So I guess you normally want to beat your competitors, but if we keep getting top fives when he wins, that's all right. So, and I'd say it's kind of weird the way the two races have played out, the last two, where you've seen a lot of new faces up front, and we've just happened to be on the good side of that. So, obviously, we're still, for chase wise, we feel like we can make it. We just gotta, you know, we've completed every race so far. We haven't had any DNFs. We're the only car I think that's done that. So, and that's what we have to do. We just don't have the raw speed to go out there and be fast every week. So we have to take advantage of these ones are good at.
Next to Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Two things for Elliot. You had mentioned the bump drafting rule where you have to bump and get off can make for some interesting moments. Do you like the rule? Because I know that it seems like every time we go to Daytona and Talladega, some people always, you know, say that some are pushing, some can't do it right. And it just seemed like today, as you mentioned, there was a lot of interesting moments with cars getting out of shape. So do you like the rule in general?
I don't. It makes the racing a lot harder. It's a whole lot easier to get on a car and stay on it. But now that we really can't do that, you've kind of got to bump, let them go, then you got to hit them again. So every time you hit them, you got to make sure your wheel is square and his wheel is square. And I understand the rule. I get it, because we can't have 22 car tandems racing each other. I know that's not really good for the sport. So I understand the rule, but it just makes it harder. It makes it really harder to race. So I don't know I don't know what to change to make it different. It's just that's the box we're in, and to win. And if you want to win, you've got to physically be bumping the car in front of you. If you're just going to ride 6 inches off the guy in front of you, your line's going to go backwards. So you physically have to do it.
And the second thing is, you picked up another stage win. How closely are you monitoring the playoff points in terms of what
Very
you
close.
Have? Yeah, in terms of what you have and what the competition's doing.
100%. I mean, that's what it's all about, is championship points and bonus points. And we feel like we got a really good cushion as far as regular season is concerned. So we're going to try to get all the stage wins we can and hopefully, you know, get us a win. So we know right now we're in, like, fourth place as far as the championship is concerned, you know, as far as bonus points. But if we can stay in the lead in the points, I think we get 15 championship points for that or whatever. So that'll help. So we're definitely monitoring the points that we can take with us to the championship rounds and the playoffs. So Williams kicking our butt right now. We gotta get our stuff together as we move to Kentucky.
Any additional questions? Well, gentlemen, thanks for the great show today. Good luck next week in Kentucky.